May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There was an AT&T marketing campaign a few years back with the slogan, "More is better." You might remember it. Each commercial featured some guy in a suit sitting down with a group of kids and asking them to explain why more is better. But it was supposed to be obvious, like even a little kid can get it. More always equal better. But AT&T, of course, has no monopoly on this slogan. We are all bombarded from messages coming from many angles, telling us always that more is better. More stuff is better. More money is better. Get the most on your tax return, right? We see those commercials all the time this time of year. More safety and security is better. More home is better. More space. The temptation, the tempter, the message that the tempter has for Jesus is not so different from this slogan, more is better. To begin our Lenten journey this morning, we hear Jesus presented with the same three temptations that we hear every year. Each one could be a variation on the slogan, more is better. The temptation to have more is the temptation of greed. But being greedy isn't necessarily about just wanting more for more's sake. It's about what you think that more is going to get you. For Jesus in the wilderness, the temptation to change stones to bread isn't just about having more food. It's tempting to believe that with more food, he could take care of himself and meet his own needs without God the Father. He would be more secure. The temptation to worship the devil in exchange for authority over people is a tempting way to get people to hear the message that Jesus has come to bring, to have more power and influence over them. The temptation to throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple and be rescued is not a fancy party trick. It's tempting to prove to everyone once and for all just who he is, that he is God's son and he deserves more glory. The devil knows that us human beings are all too willing to believe the slogan, more is better. The people of Israel knew all about that mindset too. They became very familiar with it back when they were in slavery in Egypt. In Egypt, they saw how Pharaoh could never have enough. Those on top in Egypt always needed more, more wives for their harem, more jewels, more impressive temples, more money, more power, more control. And they turned to vile means to get it, like enslaving a whole population of people and killing off their babies. In Hebrew, the word for Egypt literally means the narrow place. The narrow place. Egypt was a narrow place for them. Not only in the limited options their lives as an enslaved people offered, but in the limited way the Egyptians had of seeing the world. But now, in our reading from Deuteronomy today, the people of Israel are finally free. They are free from Egypt and wandering in the wilderness, and they will actually wander in the wilderness for 40 good long years before they actually need the advice that Moses gives them today. Today, Moses tells them how to live in the land that God will give them as their inheritance. See, God is worried that the people of Israel might backslide into Egypt's narrow ways once they settle down. In the wilderness, there are fewer temptations. In the wilderness, the people can't stockpile their possessions. They have no homes. They live in tents. They're on the move. God provides them with what they need and keeps them safe. In the wilderness, the people don't decide where to go. God leads them by a pillar of cloud by day and by a pillar of fire by night. In the wilderness, the people can't hoard their food. God provides them with just the manna and quail that they need for each day. So no one has too little and no one has too much. But things are not always going to be this way. The people of God will one day settle down in that promised land. They will become a landed people, a privileged people. And when they do, stockpiling possessions and hoarding food and choosing their own direction rather than God's, it will all become a great temptation. So God tells Moses how the people are to live in the land once they possess it. They will give the first produce of the land back to God, 1/10 of everything the land produces for them. It's a reminder that all that they have, all that there is, 10/10, actually belongs to God. When they give this offering of thankfulness, they are to recount their history. They're to remember and repeat out loud the story of their ancestors as a reminder of their humble origins and the God who brought them out of the narrow places. Then together with the rest of the people of Israel, with the priests, and even with the foreigners who live among them, much like their own wandering ancestor, they will celebrate the bounty that God has given them. The people have already been liberated from the land of Egypt. But with these instructions on how to live, God is now working on liberating them from Egypt's narrow way of thinking, from the narrow place of a mindset of scarcity and consumption. God is trying to help the people let go of greed and cultivate generosity. Because over and over again, these people are going to wander away from their own story. They're going to forget who they are and go looking for more in the gods of other nations and what they promise. They're going to forget who they are and go looking for more by building up wealth that they believe will give stability. They're going to forget who they are and go looking for more in the land that they possess and in hoarding the riches that it offers them. God wants them to know right now, right here, once and for all, that already they don't need more because already they are enough. This ragtag, rather motley and poorly behaved crew of former slaves tramping about the desert, they are already enough for God to love. God has already chosen them and called them. God has already taken up the work of making them a holy nation. There's no evil they can do and nothing that they lack that will ultimately get in the way. When you start from the understanding that you are chosen as God's beloved, that you are loved, when you start from the understanding that you are enough, suddenly everyone has enough. You don't need to go looking for yourself in the gods of other nations, or the false security of possessions, or the temptation of power and control. You see that God has given an abundance already, that there is plenty to share. This is an understanding that begins to cultivate a serious spirit of generosity, something that works against the ways of this world that tell us over and over again that more is better. Retelling the story again and again is not only a practice that benefits the people of Israel. Retelling our sacred stories again and again, week after week, year after year, same story after same story, is what we do together here in this place. And we tell the story again to remind ourselves of our spiritual ancestors in faith and where they came from, and that they were no perfect people. That we too come from a place of humble origins and from the tradition of a wandering Aramean without a place to call home. And so we remember that we too are a privileged people. Privileged perhaps in our material possessions, and certainly in the stability and opportunity presented to us here, but also privileged because of the grace we have received from God in the waters of baptism. Because we are claimed as God's beloved children. We are privileged in our relationship to Jesus and to God the Father, privileged by the forgiveness we receive from God time and again, privileged because God says to us, "You are enough." Remembering that privilege cultivates a spirit of generosity within us and allows us to let go of the greed that tempts each and every one of us. It shows us that truly we already possess what we need. Like the manna in the wilderness, there is enough for all. It shows us that if we share what we have, it doesn't diminish us, and that we need look no further than to our God to remember who we are. It reminds us that more is not better when you are already enough in the eyes of God. For this sacred story, we give thanks today, and we'll tell it again a year from now on the first Sunday of Lent. What story are we going to read? We're going to read about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Every time we repeat these stories, we remember who we are and whose we are. May that memory cultivate in us a spirit of generosity and the ability to let go of the temptation of greed. Thanks be to God. Amen.